There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Drive Live talks careers.
Our guest today, Rebecca Kelly, partner at Morgan Lewis. Hi, Rebecca, how are you doing?
I'm very well. How are
Good
you both?
Good to see you back. Excellent, excellent. David?
Hello.
Yeah, I don't know where to start.
Why?
Good to see you.
Thank you.
Very happy you could join us. It is, of course, David McKenzie from McKenzie Jones. But David is looking a little bit different today. It's like you've taken fashion tips from Toby.
Stop it. I just got off a plane to come and see you guys.
Oh, for the benefit of people listening, you have got on a camouflage T-shirt.
And some skinny fit jeans.
Oh, I can't see those
from
here.
So we can't see him.
And
yeah.
Converse.
It's camouflage as well. It's a kind of blue camouflage, like a navy camouflage in a way. So it kind of blends in with the rest of the Dubai Eye room.
I can't believe I've come here just to get abused by you lot.
Yeah, well, no, just you're very normally nice suit.
Thank you.
And, you know, very professional looking.
Don't worry, we're not going to discriminate against you because of your attire.
Thank
Don't worry
you
about
very
that.
Much.
And well, I guess, first of all, we do want to talk about discrimination in the workplace. If you do have a question for either of our guests, if it's of a legal side of things, you can text Rebecca, or if it's from a recruitment side of things, text David 4001 via the free messaging app. But Rebecca, maybe if we can start with you, I guess, we're talking about discrimination in the workplace, and some people might think discrimination is, oh, my boss doesn't like me, or that I've not got any friends in the office. But discrimination is a bit more serious than that, isn't it?
I think it is. And, you know, in principle, discrimination does mean different things to different people, and in, you know, there isn't any country in the world that doesn't have some form of discrimination, whether or not they have legislation in place or whether or not they don't. I think that depending on what your issue is, it's how you feel if you're aggrieved by a particular issue. So, for example, you may have, as a female, you may believe that you're being discriminated against in respect of a promotion because of your gender, and yet other issues may arise in may be raised in respect of your ethnicity. There are also, you know, a lot of other different forms of discrimination. Age can be an issue for some people, certainly in this jurisdiction as well, where we actually do have caps on the age of people that can acquire a residency visa.
Yeah.
But, you know, interestingly enough, the UAE is quite progressive. I mean, we have in the UAE labour law, we actually have a provision in there that says, which is different to a lot of other jurisdictions in the world, that women should be paid exactly the same as men if they're doing the same job. And that surprises a lot of people, I think.
I guess as well, you know, there's discrimination and there's the aspect that you might feel maligned. But if you did have an issue, is there any are there any laws in the UAE to protect you in terms of discrimination?
Well, there are. And there's also, you know, in any organisation that I work with, there's certainly policies around the way that employees should be treating other employees. So I know that a lot of people look to the law for the answer. But where there aren't specific provisions in a law that says, OK, you cannot discriminate against somebody for their age or their ethnicity, what you will find is that companies will have policies in place in which they use and adopt to attract the best talent, regardless of their ethnicity, regardless of their sex. So I think that what we need to do is make sure that people are aware of what their internal policies are when it comes to them having a grievance. And those grievances can be wide. And whether or not it falls within a discriminatory practice is really about the way that the company has handled it.
And David, I imagine it's a very difficult area to work in, especially for people like yourselves, for experts such as yourselves, because how do you really prove discrimination? It seems like quite a subjective kind of thing to have to take forward to the relevant authorities.
I think you need to be... think of it very unemotionally sometimes, and you might be aggrieved because you didn't get the job, and you didn't get the job because you weren't the right person, not because of your sex, colour, creed, religion or whatever. I think the problem in the Middle East, there are some areas where people discriminate for obvious reasons. So, example, in Saudi Arabia, there are some areas we have to place men. So on the adverts, it will say male needed, which anywhere else in the globe, you'd get everyone throwing their arms up going, that's wrong.
Yeah.
Now, okay, well, whatever we personally think, whether it's wrong or right, it's a fact, it has to happen. But I think there are more subtle things in the UAE where people discriminate, not because inherently they want to, but I think, you know, you'll see things on adverts like Western education needed or fluency in English is essential, which basically cuts out a big chunk of the population who don't have fluency in English. But there again, we place advert saying fluency in Arabic needed. So, ergo, yeah. Rebecca, that's discriminatory, I suppose, but we do need an Arabic speaker because this is the language of the region.
And do you think there's sometimes an issue in terms of people assuming if you haven't been Western educated, you might not be capable? Somebody could be absolutely perfect for a job and gone to university somewhere else. It doesn't mean your ability is diminished, but sometimes people have something in their head that they're determined to stick to.
I think you're right. And I think we get blamed as a the consultancy practice as being discriminatory. We do what our clients ask us to do. So if a client says we want X, we can't say, well, no, we're not going to do that. They'll go, fine, I'll go somewhere else. So in many ways, what we have to do, we have to show that the person they're asking for, we could get without some of those discriminations, i.e. age, etc. So here's a good one, age. Age is a perfect one. In the rest of the Western world, once you get over 40, you cease to exist work-wise. It's horrible. It's terrible. Here, you're looking at me. That's why I'm looking so cool. But here in the UAE, often we ask for older people because they have age experience, they've been through it, and we need their valuable expertise to do it. So if that's discriminatory, we often will ask for that because we need the more experienced minds and sage hands. If that's such a thing.
In your experience here then, what are the main areas of discrimination that you've come across that may be more prevalent here but are lacking elsewhere perhaps?
I think, race, not so much religion. I think that's sort of off the cards. But it's often where you come from, how old you are, whether you're married or not. You know, some people we recruit for clients in Saudi, they can't be married people. It's awful doing it because I've been brought up in the UK, so everything I've always done has been about getting the right person. But sometimes you get clients and they'll go, well, we just want this. And so we have a policy internally within Mackenzie Jones and the Mums at Work group and the whole lot. If they say, you know, we only want a certain type of person, we'll go, I'm sorry, we'll provide you with the best candidate. And often clients go, okay, and we provide them with the best candidate, which is often not what they wanted.
Yeah.
Danny Norton here in this place alongside the one and only NLT, Natalie Lindo-Taylor, of course. It's all about Drive Live Talks careers today. We've got Rebecca Kelly, partner at Morgan & Lewis, and David McKenzie of Mackenzie Jones in the studio talking discrimination today. Plenty of text messages coming in on 4001. If you have any questions, do send them in. You can remain anonymous, of course, if you've got any worries about that. We've had a text in asking, what about salary based on passport? Rebecca, do you want to take this one?
Well, I think David agreed to take that one.
Okay.
I love the way she threw that back at me.
She's a liar. Come on.
I know. Love that. Yes. Does it happen? Yes. I think the answer is it tends to happen probably at the lower end of the spectrum, where you'll find actually most of the discrimination does tend to happen because if you have like an accounts department that has one section of a country, so if they have too many people in one area, then what some HR teams are keen to do is break up that sort of informal mafia and put other people in there with different backgrounds. So sometimes they discriminate on passports. You'll find that because the UAE's gone through a huge change in the last 10 years, it doesn't happen as much as people think. So I'll give some empirical evidence on this one because I'm not a lawyer, but I got some figures. So I looked at 50 ads across various job boards, and I looked at all the requirements down the bottom saying about, you know, what they're required. Out of 50, only 4 would fall into this category. And they were, I'll give you some of the quotes on these, because it's nice and bright now, I can see these figures. But it says on one of them in particular, this is a role in Saudi, IT instructors needed for a male college, only males can apply. So technically that's discriminatory, but you can understand why.
It makes sense.
Yeah, next one is one here that says excellent command and fluency in English, must have lived within Europe.
So now, not necessarily English born and lived, or English as a first language, but maybe a Western.
Yeah, York. Well, that's it. The problem is, what this, you don't need that for this job. That's the bit. That's the bit I don't agree with. But out of 50, only 4 had anything. So I think we've come a long way. I think back in the day when I first started working in recruitment, some of the adverts that came out were horrendous. I mean, there was one particular one I saw when I first arrived back in 2006, and it said, "Female, blonde, must be attractive. If you're not, don't apply." I remember reading it going, Oh my God!
I wonder what kind of
what
job
company
that was
yeah. that, David?
I'm not going to say because they're a very big company.
It is really interesting because some of the complaints that I deal with for companies are in respect of air ticket allowances. So what you'll have is people coming from different countries believing that they are actually being discriminated against because they come from X country and therefore their allocation is less. But actually, that's because the tickets are less, or that the country is closer. And so therefore they're actually not, it's not this overt discrimination and no one's picking on them, but it's just a matter of economics. And, you know, it is really difficult because I believe in a lot of the larger companies, what you find is that a lot of individuals of certain ethnicity will always be, will always have close relationships. And they, sometimes it's just a myth that those people of another culture are being paid more. So a lot of it isn't necessarily discriminatory practices. It's just that people believe that different cultures work with different other cultures and are more likely to communicate amongst themselves.
We've had a text in, Rebecca, and this person just sort of says, I've been working in Dubai for 10 years. Discrimination is rampant and inherent across all sectors. And I guess what I wanted to ask you about is if you did feel like you had an issue about discrimination, of course, yes, there is legal recourse. But if you were to go down a road like that, you could end up in quite a hostile situation with your employer.
Yeah, and it's such a... This situation applies across the board. So whether or not you've got a complaint against discrimination, whether or not you've got a complaint about the hours that you're expected to work, whatever your complaint is, I'm always somebody that suggests that open communication is the best way to deal with it and deal with it internally before you look to the lawyers for any recourse. Because you may find that the recourse is not as expeditious as you would like it to be and that the outcome isn't what you were expecting. Now, if we think about the existence of, for example, in the UK or in Australia, employment tribunals that deal with smaller issues and are able to, you know, basically order that a company does certain things after they've had a complaint filed. We don't have that here. The only recourse would be to go through the court system. Now, how that would play out when somebody has an issue and hasn't dealt with it internally first ends up, you know, that the employee is very unhappy with the outcome because it's time, cost, money. And so I would strongly suggest that those companies, if somebody did have a problem, that they look internally first. They find out whether or not the company has any policies in place. They record what's gone on. And I don't mean tape record. I never mean tape recording.
You can't do that, you can
you? Can't do
no,
that. I need to make that very clear. I mean, make a note of it. What was the behaviour that you're complaining about? Yeah. What was the benefit that you believe you were not getting and somebody else was getting? And, you know, that's what we need. And you need to have those facts and you need to have evidence that there has been an actual breach of any particular provision in your employment contract or the law.
What kind of reaction do you tend to get from companies? Is it the companies that you approach first after somebody has come forward and said, I believe I'm being discriminated against? Do you find companies, some of them are quite reactionary and as if to deny it all? Are there other companies who may be a bit more open and saying, OK, well, let's find out what the problem is and see if we can try and solve it and make sure it doesn't happen again?
You know, I am fortunate. The companies that I work with definitely will work on having policies in place. And when they're calling me, it's because whatever they have done internally hasn't prompted a resolution and they want to resolve it. They want to resolve it to the employee's benefit as well as to their own benefit. So what they're going to look for is, you know, an objective view on what steps they've taken and what steps the employee has taken. I very rarely ever hear companies saying to me, I want to go after this person because this is what they've done. It's completely the opposite. These are people, these are employees, and, you know, genuinely companies are interested in making sure that they are, you know, any complaint that they have, any grievance is settled. And if it's a discrimination issue, I can say that, you know, the companies I deal with certainly deal with it internally. We may, you know, even look to going and getting an objective mediator in. We may look at other solutions. And sometimes just having a parting of the ways is the best solution because whatever has happened hasn't been resolved.
We've had a text in, it's obviously a joke, but they're saying there was somebody advertising for a penguin trainer and they had to speak a certain language. I mean, it's a joke, but...
Really?
Yeah.
What language do penguins speak?
I don't know.
Clackety-clack.
Anyway, that is a terrible joke.
I know.
But the principle is the same, though, isn't it? That there's lots of jobs around that are advertised that with a list of skills that don't relate to necessarily what the job entails.
Yeah.
But it's a way of filtering people out, and whether that's to do with how high or low you want to pay them, or their skill levels, or their perceived skill levels, it is something that's happening.
And companies retain the best talent by having these policies in place. They retain and attain the best talent. If their whole process of recruitment centres around making sure that they're actually carving out 95% of the available job applicants by putting in these advertisements, then they're actually just dealing with the final 5%. And what I honestly see is that companies want to make sure that those employees that they attract are the best candidates. They're going to pay them a salary. They don't want just anybody in the door. And, you know, maybe sometimes what it comes down to is experience as well. Maybe what it is when they classify that they want somebody from Europe, they've found that in the past, people from Europe have satisfied the requirements for that position. So, you know, it's not necessarily overt discrimination.
I think also an interesting point to come to is positive discrimination. We have lots of policies to do with positive discrimination. David is excited, jumping in his seat. He looks after Mums at Work, two very successful company, who are doing something that on the face of it might seem discrimination, but it's positive discrimination. We'll return to that topic next.
Drive Live talks careers.
Our guests today are Rebecca Gailey from Morgan, Lewis David McKenzie from McKenzie Jones. And we've been talking a lot about discrimination. It's a topic that's obviously quite close to people's heart. Now, David, just before, a few minutes ago, I sort of said to you, look, there's positive discrimination. You obviously have lots of experience with Mums at Work. Mm. This is for anyone that doesn't know, a route for people who maybe have been out of work, had children, had families and want to return to the workplace. Yep. So that's a different kind of discrimination in the workplace.
Yeah, I think, look, you've described the business very accurately. It was aimed at getting working mums back into the workplace through flexible working. And I think what's happening in the UAE, Sheikh Mohammed in 2012 made it compulsory to females to be on boards of directors in the UAE in government and agencies. And I think what we're facing now is there's a big divide between very senior male board directors and females. It's being changed, but I think that pay gap, I mean, I'm on the WEPS committee, which is the Women Empowerment Programme, and they've been doing some really good things about just trying to get men and women's pay equal. That's one of the starting blocks of it. And I think the UAE is doing some really good things and pushing very hard to it. But that's positive discrimination, getting females into senior positions where they can add real value. And it proves when you have women and men on the board, companies do make more money because the environment's better, the thought processes are on the board tend to be very split, so it's been proved it works better.
I've seen that a couple of times in the UK as well, certainly in the kind of the media industry, and like the, for example, the BBC have had kind of specific jobs that have been aimed at kind of say minority groups, for example. Have you seen much of that over here?
Not really here, and I think we are still quite far away from that. You've got to remember we're very much a developing nation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, 60 years ago, we didn't have any of these policies. Well, the UK's had it for hundreds of years. So I think the UK's probably more advanced. I think we've got a lot to learn here, but I think we're moving at a much faster pace than Europe ever did.
That's the key, isn't it? Mm. Plenty of text coming into 4001. A long one here, so bear with me. About workplace discrimination in terms of salary, I work in a company where we have a colleague who is British and gets paid 3 times more. She's one position above me but does the same work, achieves the same results. In fact, there's another colleague at the same position. She's from the Philippines, but she gets paid much less despite always achieving targets. The British colleague is from a completely different background before joining this job, but the Filipino colleague has been with us since the inception of the company and has a similar background and yet is paid less. And I suppose that, I mean, the problem as well has been obviously a major issue for the employers. That could be a long-term issue for the employees themselves, Rebecca.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, the interesting point out of this story, which is, I think, consistent across most companies, those that start with a company and are longest there are sometimes the least amount paid. What's clear from this message, though, is that there seems to be discrimination between the passports. So somebody with a Filipino passport is obviously being paid less. Now, whose responsibility is it to bring it to management's attention? Who's actually unhappy about it? If the Filipino worker is unhappy about it and they can get support from their colleagues, then surely they should be able to lobby the management to have equal pay. They shouldn't be looking just to the law for their answers. There should be some sort of sense of community within that organisation that actually, you know what, I don't think that that's right. You know, so when you're doing your salary reviews, when you're doing your own pay reviews, when you're talking about your own performance for the year, it always pays to always say, this person does a better job than me, or this person is have you noticed how good this person is? We would be lost without this person. You know, those types of messages within an organisation certainly can change the pay culture, because this is what that actually is. This is a systematic sort of problem within that particular organisation, that they haven't recognised the different outputs that all of these employees have had. And it's up to the other, their colleagues, to sort of stand up for them if they themselves cannot do it themselves.
And just very briefly, both of you, I'll start with you, David. If there is a company out there and they're paying you considerably less because of where you come from or your passport or your language, is that somewhere that you would want to work?
No, but I think let's add a dose of reality into this. This economy is, you know, struggling at the moment, and there are people there hanging on to their jobs. So yes, you're absolutely right, go to HR, discuss this with them, and be very unemotional about it. You know, don't talk about your British person that's getting more, because that's not the issue. It's the issue is you're not getting as much, or you're not getting paid what you perceive to be the fair market value for your job. So, but I think people are genuinely worried about going to HR and discussing this. But I think if you're in a company where you can see your HR backs you and supports you, it's worth doing. But do it, you know, put it down on paper, be very logical, very unemotional, which is very difficult to do, by the way. But that's the only way to do it.
And same question to you, Rebecca. Is that somewhere you would want to work?
And, you know, I agree with David. We all need a dose of reality. The job market is tough. It's not somewhere where people would probably choose to work, and that's perhaps giving them the answer that they need, which is that they need to find alternate employment if actually they are never going to see that their salary is going to be increased based on what they perceive to be discriminatory practices.
Let's Drive Live Talks Careers. Our topic today was discrimination in the workplace. Our guest, Rebecca Kelly, partner at Morgan Lewis. Thank you for joining us, Rebecca.
No problem. Thanks
David
for having
McKenzie
me.
David McKenzie in his camouflage from McKenzie Jones. Thank you very much for making the effort. We appreciate it's your jet-lagged self has gone above and beyond on careers.
I'm surprised you could see me, actually.
Yeah. I can barely see him.
Waiting to make that joke myself.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcast at DubaiEye1038.com.